Hey, Paul.
Okay. Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Oh, it's great. How are you?
Oh, super.
We're both so
Sometimes
excited.
I look at the woods, Ben, and I'm like, if I didn't have a family, maybe I'd just go walk into those woods forever.
Just go and walk about.
Until, yeah,
That
you
reminds
know?
me of a really fascinating story I read in it might have been the New Yorker or one of those like magazine type publications. And it talks about this dude who basically spent 30 years of his life as a hermit in the woods of Maine. And basically what he did was he was this I can't even he was like early 20s, late teens, early 20s maybe. And he just drove his car into the woods as far as he could drive it. And then he got out and basically just walked. And he found this he basically made a camp and he found this spot that had good like tree cover so satellite imagery couldn't find his camp. And he would go to like the local campsite because there's a campground near there and he would steal food and things at night. And he became pretty much a local legend. I wish I could remember his name or even what magazine I read it in. But we keep it wrong
What
here on
you're
the.
describing is a bear, basically. He became a bear.
What I found most surprising about this whole story, so not never the never mind the fact that he ba was basically able to live in the woods by stealing candy and bread from these campgrounds. Or that they even, he would break in, and it got to the point where the people who ran these places were like, "Look, the door's unlocked. Help yourself to whatever you need. Just stop breaking my house." And
Wow, crazy.
so I don't remember exactly how he was found, but one of the things that they said in the story was that he was still wearing the same pair of eyeglasses that he basically walked away with. He hadn't been to the eye doctor in 30 years. But what I found most surprising was that in 30 years living in the woods, he never broke his glasses.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as soon as you said the same pair of glasses. I'm like, hey, we don't know how ratty those glasses were, though, by
They
that time.
were yeah, they were I saw a picture and they were those like thick 1970s glasses.
Well, there you go. But, well, yeah, I mean, every once in a while, I'm like, huh, maybe so. Just to feel, give the listeners a sense of time, today, the United States House of Representatives voted for at least two things. One of the things they voted for that passed was that they would not have to abide by the repeal of Obamacare.
Correct.
And then the next thing they voted to do was to repeal Obamacare.
Right.
Now,
Yeah.
the one thing about that, and this is something that time and history will understand all this. Democrats also voted. The count I saw was 140. I don't know how many actually, but a lot of Democrats voted for the we don't have to give up our health coverage thing, which, and I said, no malice. If I could vote to keep my health coverage, I would probably do the same thing.
Well, see, here's a
But I
question.
can't.
Here's a question that
Yeah.
I have, and I didn't. Granted, I just saw the headlines. I haven't read any details about this. But these
Yeah.
Democrats who voted to keep their health insurance, did they also vote to
Yeah.
repeal Obamacare?
No, they did not.
They
No,
vote.
they did not. This was
Okay.
a yeah. And this is what I'm saying is I would have done the same thing. It was them going, well, at least me. I'll
Yeah.
do my best to keep it, there were like, I don't know, I want to say 20 Democrats that voted, or maybe two. 20 or two, one of
Two
the,
I can believe, 20 I cannot believe, even out
Yeah.
of a body of what is it, 340 something? How large is the House of
But,
Representatives?
yeah,
Like
I
government
know
teacher
that
from middle school
one
is hitting me right
Democrat
now.
voted present on the idea of Congress keeping their health coverage.
Yeah.
I know about that, so that was nice of that person. But I did my due diligence. I called my congressman last night
Oh,
and said, "Hey, Just want you to keep, you know, your constituents in mind when you vote tomorrow. He was a Republican guy.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad you did
you know, please don't take health care away from people with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Then today, I just left a message. But today, then, I called back, and a nice young man answered the phone, and I said, could you please tell the congressman that I'm disappointed in him? And he said, yes, I will. And that was it.
He just put another check mark in, probably a very small box for your area.
I was as brief as possible because I know that they're getting a lot of calls today.
Yeah. I did not call any of my congressmen today. I live in a very blue part of the state.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think you needed to.
Probably didn't need to. I could have called other congressmen.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that, and this is the I mean, I saw some people saying, call the Congress people here, tell them that you're from this zip code or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a little, I don't know, even if you're trying to stop people from getting killed, it's still a little shady. I mean, granted, you're stopping, you know, children from getting their health care taken away or whatever, but still.
It's really, it's disheartening and I guess no longer at all surprising when you remember back in 2009 when President Obama was pushing the Affordable Health Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans were trying to scare everybody and saying that they would institute these death panels. Well, fast forward to today, where they will admit, they have admitted, and I'm going to get this number wrong, but somewhere around along the lines of, and this is at least the first bill that they tried to pass, 26,000 people a year will die because they cannot, they no longer have health insurance, thanks to Trump / Ryan / Republican care.
Is it because they don't have health insurance that they'll die? Because
I think that was the takeaway, premiums are going to go up some absurd number, like 435%. And so people just flat out cannot afford health insurance.
Yeah, there was a thing where I came up with the idea that there's just a think tank somewhere that's like, how do we get rid of all these people? There are too many. And somebody says,
I have to get here today. There's
what
too
about
many people.
Taking, yeah. And so that's that, you know, get rid of their health insurance. And here's the other thing. What's going to happen? People aren't going to want to go to the doctor because it's going to cost too much. And so someone gets sick, you know, from some virus that they got somewhere else or whatever. And are they going to go to the doctor? No. Why would they? They spent all their money on a plane ticket. Why spend more money going to the doctor? And so there will be plagues. There are going to be plagues. People are going to die. And as we've talked about before, Ben, on this podcast, if you thought the war on drugs was crazy, the war on illness is going to be insane bonkers.
Well, see, yeah, I know. And thanks to global warming, and I just saw this today. So the Arctic has had record warm temperatures lately.
Uh-huh.
That is not unusual. I mean, that's not the breaking news. What I did hear today was that it has thawed the tundra so much that people that have been buried in the tundra for hundreds of years now starting to resurface, and they died because of anthrax. And so now there's a possibility of an anthrax outbreak because of dead people floating to the surface. I'm sure there's more details to it than that. I'm being a bit hyperbolic based on the small, details that I saw. But, you know, it's what other diseases are going to resurface thanks to the melting ice caps?
Oh, and for those of you who are just listening, and as I've stated before, go, hey, why don't I just jump 60 some odd episodes?
64.
Let me start with 64. That seems like a good number. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me? I'm a Beatles fan. Why not? 64, a magic number. They've got time to get their act together. Why don't I just start listening now?
They've got this podcasting thing down. They never talk over each other anymore.
It's true. We rarely do.
Well, not
we still do.
We still do. Not as much as we used to.
Yeah, true.
There's like there's a second and a half delay between are on our phone line. So it's kind of interesting.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's when you send me your audio clip. Sometimes you have the recorder close enough to your earphones that I can hear just the faint me in the background. Ooh. But if I try to line it all up.
The Ben Lawrence story. I'm interrupting you on purpose. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. If I try to line it all up, it doesn't line up. If I line you up with what I have of you when I'm recording you, the me that you hear from your recording is about a second and a half delay.
Wow, that's crazy.
You'd think in this year we would have figured out how to get phone calls properly.
Oh, well,
of course,
knows?
You know, this phone call is being beamed into space first, so I guess I can forgive that.
Yeah, that's true. That is a little crazy. Here's something for the new listener.
Welcome, new listener.
There's one. So the basic thing is that we keep it wrong here. Keep it wrong is the quote that we use. And it goes back to a conversation Ben and I had once. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the podcast or if we talked about it off the podcast and then instituted it on the podcast. But the idea is that people think they know something.
Right.
And then they look it up on Google and they're like, oh, yeah, see, I knew that.
I did know that, yeah.
You don't know it. You think you know it. You don't.
Yeah, no, it's the equivalent of cheating during an exam.
Exactly. So we made a challenge where it used to be that we would ask questions and try to answer them.
Yeah.
Now it's just that we don't look up stuff anymore yeah. while we're
now
talking about it.
We've become even more lazy in our dialogue. And yeah. We say facts and we know we get them wrong and we acknowledge that, but we don't bother to look it up.
So there is something, however, that now I know it has happened because she forwarded the email to me. My wife, I'm not going to do it
every time, man.
Jennifer, has gone through and sort of fact checked some of our podcasts.
Yeah, she has. I received an email
and sent them in. So, yeah. My plan was not to look at them until, just not to, you know, ask you about them or whatever and just have you,
right.
You know, wow me with them, but in the sense of full disclosure, she forwarded it to me when she sent it to the email address, so I have seen them. We've already had one argument about them.
Oh no!
This isn't so supposed I to. Am,
that's not supposed to happen, Paul.
I promise I have not looked up anything since then, so I'm still as ignorant as I was when she sent it. I just know what the things are. And I was wondering if we could have a little segment where we go through them for the people.
Well, I'm going to have to. So here's a funny story. It's not really funny. It's,
yeah.
In fact, it's dull. My mail client that I use here at work it's Thunderbird. It's an open source email client from Mozilla.
I'm yawning already. This is great.
Yeah, right? I told you it was a dull story. Anyway, yeah. I deleted that email account from my mail client.
Oh, no.
Because it kept asking me to log in, and it kept popping up this window, this, like, Google login window, and every time I would click next, it wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
But I would close the window, and then 2 seconds later, it would pop up again. So I didn't want to deal with it, and I knew that because I deleted that email account, we were going to talk about it. So let me see if I actually have that on my phone. And I don't. So hang on.
Okay.
A
so, well, here we go.
I'll just have to add it quickly again.
Okay.
But that means looking up my extremely complicated password.
Oh, no. Don't even hint at it. People know.
Oh,
Ben, it's going to be.
Yeah. Let's see. WL. I wonder if people can like keylog audio keyloggers. Like you can tell what is being pressed from an audio file.
Eventually, I betcha, probably.
Yeah.
Distance from the microphone.
Yeah.
See, there's that fucking window again.
I saw this thing where people were doing this thing where they could use an audio tone that you can't hear to tell where your other devices were. I couldn't really figure it out.
They would do what?
This is a bad story, Ben.
keep it rolling.
somehow there's an app that sends out an audio signal that can determine what other devices are around it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like some sort of electronic echolocation?
Yeah, something like that. And they found out that like something like 234 apps have it right now. Something like that, some number.
Oh, so it's like spyware?
Yeah, sort of like spyware.
Weird.
Kind of. It's not really illegal, but it's maybe kind of illegal. I'm not sure how it works exactly.
All right. Well, I'm not. But, I can't see the email, but oh, maybe I can just sign it on via Google Apps. All right. Yeah. Keep it going. We're almost getting there. I just have to.
Okay. Cool. So yeah. Just want to go to the woods. I mentioned that already. people are gonna die. Lots of people dying. Mentioned that. I think there's going to be actual violence from the poor, Ben. It's going to happen eventually.
Directed towards who?
You think it's towards just general people.
Is it directed towards libtards, or is it going to be directed towards their congressman that they elected?
No, I don't think at this point in time, maybe certain people will direct it towards the right folks, whoever you think that might be.
Right.
They might do some research and figure out a person that they're mad at. But I think I'm just talking about like frustrating violence. Like people are going to be frustrated, like because their child isn't going to be able to get health care and all that kind of stuff, or money, or you know, will be tight, whatever. And so people will like start breaking into things more, destroying, like inanimate objects and stuff,
property damage. Okay, yeah. So
and then eventually other people.
So episode 62, we talked about the difference in population in Illinois.
And I was
in
1990, totally off.
Yeah, in 1990, you had a number. I don't remember what the number you said was, but Jennifer apparently looked it up and sent it in.
I think I said it was like 65,000 or something, which is way too high.
65,000? Okay, so what was your estimation for the population of Edwardsville, Illinois in 2016?
I think I then said it was something like, and here's the thing, I might be getting what I said wrong now. I think I said it was something like 120,000, right, which is way too high.
Keep in mind that like downtown Seattle has like a population of 800,000 or so.
Okay.
So, Edwardsville population in 1990, and I mean, I'm assuming she looked these up. She doesn't cite any sources, but population of Edwardsville in 1990, 16,197.
Okay. So yeah, I was off by 50,000, I guess.
And the population of Edwardsville in 2016 was 24,758.
Yeah, so I was off by
an order
like
of magnitude.
100,000. Yeah.
So, and also,
so there's that.
Apparently, you said Easter dinner at your parents' house was barbecue pork chops. Apparently,
I thought it was barbecue pork
Easter
chops.
Easter dinner was a pork roast. So,
There was barbecue on it. I know for a fact there was barbecue
pork roast
sauce
can have
on it,
barbecue sauce on it, and it doesn't necessarily make it a barbecue pork roast. Or pork chops.
Or pork chop, yeah. Pork chop and pork roast are different things. I think that's Jennifer's point.
Okay. And, you know, that's a valid point.
Yeah.
I don't know the difference. Technically, I'm sure a roast is a specific part of the pig, and the chop is not that part, but whatever.
Yeah.
Episode 63, which was last week.
Yes.
Basically, there are no facts that were disputed. She is basically just talking about what we talked about, which is your diet.
Yes.
And she gave some insight into your diet. And now I don't think we need to go through all of that. But
No. But the big thing is
my question was, are you keeping kosher? And you, I don't remember exactly what you said, but apparently the answer is you are not keeping a kosher kitchen.
Yes, and see, this is what the this is a very semantic argument, yeah. I think, and by that I mean this. So Jennifer and Betty aren't doing this whole Judaism thing, right?
Right.
Betty is not going to Hebrew school. Jennifer is not converting. And again, I hasten to point out there are probably plenty of people who are Jewish who would not consider me Jewish either. I'm ethnically Jewish, at least partially. I'm also Irish. And again, it gets a little fuzzy in the Eastern European thing because of what we talked about before, about how, you know, the ethnically Jewish is a certain population and how the testing of that works and everything. A little confusing. But because I wasn't raised in any particular Jewish fashion at all, if I was going to start doing that, I would have to actually convert and do like a study and things like that.
Right. So the conversion process is quite hefty. I know somebody who went through it and converted to Judaism, and it's
who
like,
who was that?
I don't want to say.
Oh wait, one second, Ben. One second. Sorry. What is it, Betty?
Can you make me a quesadilla in your own dad way?
You want me to make you a quesadilla? Okay, do you need it right now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to be making a quesadilla while I talk to you, Ben.
Oh, good.
so, oh, gosh. Hold
but
on.
It's like,
wait,
it's like,
one
it's
second.
Like...
One second, Ben. My phone fell. Are you still there?
Yes, I am still
Ben?
Here.
Okay. All right. So,
but what
you
from,
have.
I had a friend who converted to Judaism and. I didn't really pay too much attention to everything they went through, but from
yeah.
just casual conversation, it sounds like you're going to grad school.
There's a lot of stuff, and so, you know,
there's a lot of
how
study.
Old was it? Do you mind if I ask how old your friend was?
Mid-20s.
Yeah, mid-20s. Was it because they were getting married to somebody?
No. Nope.
And had to convert, or they
I don't
just
know,
wanted
actually,
to do it?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Okay, because the thing is that, you know, I'm very interested in a lot of, you know, a lot of different aspects of it. The way that I described it to the rabbi I was talking to was that, as far as I'm concerned, from the way things work out and how people in the past have reacted to me, all that kind of stuff, I'm Jewish. I'm just not good at being Jewish. Like, you know, I haven't done any of the stuff that I'm supposed to do. You know, I don't know any of.
Well, I mean,
like, I don't know how to speak Hebrew.
In your defense, you've only been Jewish for the last couple months.
Right, but and even then, though, you know, again, we have this whole degree thing. I've only been like. Observant for the past like couple weeks, I guess.
Okay.
Like super observant. And even then, I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to. This is what the whole grad school thing is about, because, you know, if you're a kid and you're brought up with stuff, you just know things. You can say it off the top of your head. All that. Well,
because
no,
it's
actually,
in your household. You know,
well because it's in your household, and also because you've been going to school, you know, every day for however long, if you're in a Hebrew school, which a lot of Jewish kids are, you know, it's a second school, basically. Just like there's a Lithuanian school for Lithuanian kids.
Yeah, no.
Same sort of thing. You're learning the language, you're learning culture stuff and all that, so that by the time you get to 43, you don't have to all of a sudden learn all this stuff.
Well, nobody, I mean, come on, Paul. Nobody's saying you have to.
No. But it's just that thing of, I wish my parents would have forced me to take piano lessons, because then I could play piano now. You're still you. When you were a kid, you wouldn't have wanted to do it, you know, whatever. So
right.
I'm motivated at this point, I guess, is how I would look at it. But I don't know a lot. And so one of the things, as an example, with and this is what Jennifer was talking about, keeping a kosher kitchen would mean that we would have separate utensils for meat and separate utensils for cheese things.
Right.
For example. Just so like a whole set of things. During Passover, you know, there's a big cleaning the kitchen to get rid of anything that might have, like, you know, leavened crumbs on it or whatever.
But, I mean, it sounds to me like you are talking about just not quite super orthodox, but more on the orthodox spectrum than casual Jewish. I know lots of Jews, they don't keep separate silverware for meats and cheeses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of them probably don't even eat them separately, I would think.
You are correct. You probably some of my favorite Jews also eat pig.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, you know, because I'm doing this, a lot of it is, you know, a self-discipline kind of thing. Even though I am more socially liberal, right?
Yeah.
I am getting into the more orthodox practices simply to have a greater connection to that aspect of my life.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of it. So, you know, it's, you know about the kosher symbols on food, right?
I am not familiar with what these symbols mean.
Oh, yeah, but you've seen them before. The symbols really refer back to which governing body has deemed the food kosher. And different people trust different governing bodies more or less or whatever.
Oh, really? Are there food factions within the Jewish community?
Well, you know, it's like you're saying, there, even among Orthodox people, there are different degrees. There are different degrees, like, throughout everything, right? And the way it was described to me is this, that there are, so there are things that you do, right? And your reasoning behind doing the things might be different from person A to person B, but you're doing the same thing. And then that's what allows more free thought in Judaism than it does in, like, say, Christianity. Christianity, you got to believe this thing, right? Which is a problem I've had with it before, because I have doubts, you know. I'm like, well, why, you know, I don't know if I think this thing is right or whatever. Whereas in Judaism, you can think whatever you want to about it, but you do it. And you're cool, sort of. but I mean, there's...
It's the barometer of a coolness.
Traditional and modern Judaism, they're different things. You ask any different person, they might have a different thing, and that's because, you know, there's a lot of latitude in the experience. And then, again, you know, David Cross has his whole thing about how he's considered Jewish, but he doesn't, you know, he's an atheist.
Right.
Right? Now, this is an important thing. I didn't say he considers himself Jewish. He's considered Jewish because that's one of the other things, is that it's not just you who's doing it or who's saying it. And the big reason, like I said, that I've decided to learn more about Judaism and, like, study it, practice some things in it, all that kind of thing, is because when they start, if anyone were ever to start rounding people up, you know, for being Jewish, the people that don't like Jewish people would consider me Jewish. And therefore, I feel like I have an obligation for the people that like Jewish people to learn more about how to be a good Jewish person.
I think we jumped a fence here. What are you talking about? People rounding up?
Well, what do you mean?
Are you saying that's going to come back?
There are people in the U.S. government right now that hate Jewish people, Ben. I don't know if you know that or not. It's completely true. And I'm not saying it is coming back, but I'm saying there is a potential for it to come back.
I think having legislatures who are anti-Semitic is something that I'm not going to deny, even though I don't have any firsthand experience with that. I think rounding up Jews is something we probably don't have to worry about in this day and age in America. Now,
Well, Ben, granted, I hope you're right.
Granted, many things are surprising me these days, but pretty sure that, you know,
here's
another Holocaust is low on the list of things that our country is going to work for.
It won't start with that, like I said. It depends on what people... This is the thing. All this stuff that's happening, taking healthcare away from people, all that, it's a feeling out process. People want to know what they can get away with, what people will fight, what people will stand for. I don't know. You know, I don't want to sound too... Well, granted, you know, you're talking to the wrong guy, I guess. I said I don't want to sound too paranoid. That's what I was going to say. I don't want to sound too paranoid,
I don't want to sound
Ben,
too paranoid, but I've listened to what I've said over the past 10 minutes.
Yeah. No, I don't want to sound too paranoid, but I've dealt with a certain type of bully in my life. And they really do. I mean, they will keep in line until they start feeling like they have some latitude. And if they think they can get away with something, you know, that's great. And they'll do it. And,
well,
I don't know. I would tell you to read stuff, but, you know, how is that going to help?
All I'll say is this. If they start coming for you, then I got your back. I will not lie
Thanks,
down.
Ben.
I will not look the other way.
And
I will say something.
Like I said, so here's the thing, right?
Ooh, it's lightning. There's lightning here. Lightning.
Uh-oh. So how Muslims are treated in the country, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's step one. Step one, you got to make sure that Muslims are treated fairly. Because that's the thing that is not going well right now.
No, that is an unfortunate reality.
Because you've got some groups of people who are like, I am okay with discrimination against this one group of people. And that's what they build the rest of their stuff on, basically. Because if it's okay for one group of people, well, then what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? And then you get into, you know, the whole concept of racial supremacy that... Everybody but my group is bad. I mean, that's where we're getting if we don't stop it. You know what I mean? If we don't stand up for people that, you know, are kind of the okay to discriminate against people. I'm putting quotes around that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, I'm not saying that I'm not going to stand up for racial discrimination.
Wait, hold on. You rephrase what you just
said.
Okay,
I'm saying I will stand up for not allowing people to discriminate based on race.
Okay.
There were
some pronoun things that I was getting confused about. So,
but. It's one of those things where it's such a large and it's such a large problem in this country. You're like, what do I do? You know, I'll tell you what I do. I just don't, you know, now this sounds kind of like I'm a guilty white person. I don't discriminate, you know?
Well,
so but what else is there?
Can we say this? You make a conscious effort when you do an action to go, am I discriminating right now? Would you say that pretty much?
Would I say it like if I'm
like to yourself, not out loud or whatever, but when you make a decision, do you ask yourself, am I basing this decision on any preconceived ideas that I might have about this person?
Not with every decision that I make, because a lot of it doesn't really have anything to do with that.
But if I'm
you know, walking home at night, and I mm-hmm. see somebody walking towards me, do I mm-hmm. cross the street to avoid them? You know, then you have to ask: Am I making that decision based on some sort of prejudice that I have, some sort of inherent prejudice that I have?
Right, right. Well, that would be an example. I'm thinking also, like, I'm thinking more in positive ways, right? Like, if you're like, oh, should I give this person a chance to do something, right? I have this guy, and he wants to be my AD for whatever play I'm doing.
Yeah.
This isn't you. I'm just, because you're not directing any plays right now. But that's the idea. And I say to myself, oh, boy, I don't know if he can do it or not. Is what I'm saying based at all on his race?
Right.
Or his age or his, you know what I mean? Taking that kind of stuff into consideration is good.
Oof.
It's a good thing to do. But the other big thing is that if you hear people like saying horrible things about other people, just going, hey, that's not cool.
Right.
Is also good.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, again, that I am in a very, I live in a sanctuary city, you know, I don't experience that. I don't experience that sort of hatred in my day-to-day life. Yeah, there was that instance, there was that instance on the, in the Starbucks down the street where a guy walked in and just started screaming at African-American people and calling them all sorts of names I'm not going to repeat here, and nobody said anything, and that became a big thing. And I don't want to say that was a fault of this city's inherent iciness and lack of want for confrontation.
Well, I think we
leave the problem
about
alone;
before.
It'll go away.
It's not just Seattle, right? The issue is, in order to combat that guy, right, who is acting crazy in public, right?
Yeah.
There has to be someone else who is willing to act crazy in public. You know what I mean? You can't be a normal good person and fight that stuff. Which is why, you know, whenever people are like, no violence in this thing or no violence in this thing, I get it. I totally do.
Yeah. I don't know if this guy presented any sort of physical danger. I don't know if he was holding a knife. I don't think he was holding a knife. But, you know, I don't know if confronting him meant escalating the problem to the point where maybe the police would have, or an ambulance would need to be called.
That's the thing, though, right? You don't know when somebody's acting out like that what it is.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, we know people who actually can, you know, combat in a physical fight. They can, you know, hold their own, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I can't, you know, I don't mean to make assumptions of this or whatever, but normally the folks who I know can handle themselves in a fight are the ones that kind of feel more comfortable dealing with people who are violent, or not violent in necessarily action, but in words and things like that.
Right.
I'm
terrible at confrontation.
Jennifer and I, yeah, exactly. Me too. I'm getting more comfortable being confrontational at work, not against people at work, but I mean, just like going, hey, you said that this was going to take you 5 days. It's 5 days. Where's the thing? You know, oh, well,
right.
I had to do this. Well, why didn't you tell anybody? You know, even that kind of confrontation,
right.
I'm finally getting. Because it used to be just, hey, you said you'd get this done. Well, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, no, I struggle with that, too. Just today, I had to send an email to a client being like, hey, you said you'd pay me on the 15th. It's now the 4th. Gave you the benefit of the doubt.
Are you freelancing?
I am.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, freelancing.
It's terrible.
And, hey, can I ask you a question?
No.
How do you get your health insurance?
Why, through the Affordable Care Act, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things about me, and I hate to say this, but like, cause I had called about it, like I said, like, hey, do this. After I'd done all that, I read the thing that said that it might actually affect, some of the things might affect people who have health insurance through their employer.
Right.
And then I was like, oh no. Like, it was still it was already a big deal. I had already done stuff, but yeah. as soon as it was going to affect me for sure, I was like, hey.
It sounds like this new bill, and who knows what's in this new bill. I don't think anybody's read it yet. But it sounds like it's an even bigger capitulation to the insurance industries than even Obamacare was.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And that so, is. Yeah, I don't know. I recently had to change my health insurance provider because I was priced out of what I had. And so I went through and I specifically picked a plan. And there were only two that was in that my doctor was in the network of, right?
Yeah.
So I could have picked the cheapest one I could. The deductible would have been like $6,000. But it would have been, you know, fairly reasonable. But no, I went for the one that was that my doctor was in the network of, so you know, I would reap all the benefits of that. And so that's going to take effect, who knows, within the next couple of months. But my question is, and I don't know if anybody's answered that. I haven't actually looked it up. But my question is, since the House voted to repeal, everybody's freaking out like they're going to lose their health insurance tomorrow. This takes time, this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so because if you remember when the Health Care Act, the Affordable Health Care Act passed, it was months, it maybe a year and a half before the effects started to take place.
Well, the other thing is that it's also got to pass the Senate.
Well, and there's another thing, you know,
they haven't done that yet.
Senate has already said they're not even voting on that. They're writing their own bill. Have you heard this?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, that must have.
The Senate, the people that I trust on Facebook said that this is worse than if they were to vote on the bill that the House passed.
Like the Senate bill is going to be worse?
That them writing like, their bill, writing their own bill, is worse than it. Because I think what would have happened is if the bill that the House passed went to the Senate, it would not pass.
Right.
So the Republican leadership in the Senate are like, we're writing our own bill so we know that it passes.
Oh, wow.
So, but
wow.
To get to my point, right now I'm not worried about losing my health insurance.
Yeah. You're worried about losing it a year from now?
I'm worrying about losing it 18 months from now.
Yeah.
That's the point where I'm going to start to, you know, especially, you know, heaven forbid something happens between now and then.
Like, oh, to you.
To me.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ben. I was like, like when you said something would happen between now and then, I was like, oh, Ben, what's going to happen? So many different things.
Athrax. I tell you, Athrax is going to kill us all.
Cthulhu rises from the waves. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you've read Stephen King's The Stand, but we're going to become The Stand.
You know, I have not read The Stand. I have not seen the
miniseries. It was like an ABC miniseries.
But I know enough to know that Matt Frewer in the miniseries played a guy called like Trash Man or something.
I don't recall, Your Honor.
Max Headroom.
Yeah, Max Headroom.
And I guess I it's one of those things where there's a lot of stuff. This phenomenon is gone now because I refuse to get actual TV anymore. but where people would say, "Hey, do you know about this show?" And I'd be like, "Well, no, but I had seen like 5 minutes of it." While people were flipping through channels. So not 5 minutes of the actual show, like from okay, start now, watch 5 minutes and stop. But I mean, 5 minutes of the hour-long show.
Right.
Catching just glimpses of it where it came through. So I know that like Ally Sheedy, I think, or no, Molly Ringwald. Molly Ringwald was in it.
I read the book when I was in junior high. It took me an entire summer because it's a pretty thick book. And I saw the miniseries when it came out, but I gotta tell you, my memory for such things is very, very poor, and so I don't remember even who's in it. I do know, I will tell you, I do know of one person who's in it, and he played a supporting role in the TV show Coach.
Oh, that guy, yeah. It's not Dahmer, is it? No, that can't be right.
I think it's Dauber.
Dauber.
Yeah, the assistant coach.
Say, if not, it's another Mr. Hinckley situation for The Greatest American Hero. Are you familiar with that?
I know of The Greatest American Hero, but I haven't seen it in...
Greatest American Hero, William Katt's character's name was Mr. Hinckley.
Ah.
And eventually they just started calling him Mr. H for a while because another guy named Hinckley did something that was an issue. So
some guy named Hinckley, yeah.
Oh, boy. I gotta say. That was... It's still something that I vaguely remember, but it wasn't like the JFK. I don't remember where I was when I heard it.
Oh, when Reagan was shot?
Yeah.
I think I was too young to remember. Because that
which
was
happened first, the Challenger blowing up or Reagan getting shot?
Challenger blew up in 1983? This is something I really want to look up because I should know this. 86. Challenger blew up in 86.
Okay, what about John Lennon dying?
John Lennon died in 1980. I do know that.
Okay.
Because he was 40 when he died, and I am now 41. I am older than John Lennon ever got to be.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
I remember.
But I think
John
Reagan was,
Lennon.
I think Reagan was shot before the Challenger blew up.
Okay. Haha, it's all connected. No. So I remember John Lennon being like on all the news channels. And I had never heard of John Lennon before then.
Yeah.
And I asked my dad, "Dad, who is that?" And he's like, "Some singer." And that was it until later on I found out about the Beatles, John Lennon. I'm like, "Hey, that's the guy."
Your Lutheran minister father doesn't strike me as the biggest would have been the biggest Beatles fan in the 60s.
Although he was a Simon and Garfunkel fan.
Slightly different.
Let's see. Albums that I had when I was a kid. When I say I had, my dad had. I can remember almost all of them. The Carpenters, Judy Collins, Simon and Garfunkel, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Oh, yeah. Herb Alpert.
Then Jesus Christ Superstar. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
The original cast recording. They weren't a big fan of the TV show. Or the TV show. The TV show, Jesus Christ Superstar, episode 13. Oh, man. I got to say, if you want to go down a rabbit hole of all the different Jesus Christ Superstar productions that are out there.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. The one that I like the best is the one that the Indigo Girls did, where one of the Indigo Girls is Jesus.
I am not familiar with that.
Yeah. Check it out sometime. Or don't.
I probably won't.
Especially if you're not a musical theater fan.
I've
or a Lutheran minister.
I have only
either
seen
either of those two things.
I've only seen one production of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it was a solo show from a man on ukulele.
Whoa, that's crazy. Hey, yeah, both of us were around when they were doing the Jesus Christ Superstar show at Union Garage, and neither of us went to see it.
I don't even remember when that was happening. How long ago was that?
Let's see. I don't remember. This was, I want to say that the Union Garage guy, who was disruptive. He's the main guy. I can't think of his name. He was disruptive during Matt Fontaine's show, which was Market Research Theater. Maybe one of the sketch comedy shows or something. There was something where it's like I was like, why don't they kick that guy out? And they're like, well, he's
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't remember exactly. I'm eating a dill pickle.
Did you make Betty's quesadilla? Everybody wants to know.
Oh, yes. I made Betty's quesadilla, and she said thank you to me.
All right.
I'm also making a potato.
I'm conjuring a potato out of thin air.
So here's the thing I will say, Ben, to you and the listeners. I've figured out, I think, the best... If you're going to buy actual food, right? Not packaged food, but actual food.
Yeah.
And you want the most that you can get for your money. I think these are the items. Potatoes, carrots, bananas, and eggs.
I'm also quite fond of broccoli. So you can you can get a pretty good deal on broccoli. It's I think at least I know that the my local QFC sells these prepackaged broccoli cuts, even, you know, just down the fresh aisle. They're not frozen or anything, and it's like $3.19 mm-hmm. for these things. But if you just buy a head of broccoli, it's like a dollar.
A dollar for a head of broccoli? It's a head of broccoli for a dollar.
So
Betty has this funny thing that she does, where she says dollar instead of dollar.
A dollar.
Because someone that she watches on YouTube does it.
A dollar make me holla.
I don't remember. Oh my god, maybe. I don't know, man. There's just, you know, kids in YouTube, they find out about so much stuff.
Adults find out about so much stuff on YouTube. I heard about a YouTube controversy just the other day where I had never even heard of this channel, but suddenly it's like all over the news, and everybody on YouTube is freaking out.
What was they?
Oh
man, Ben, did you hear what I just said? What was they freaking out about? What were they freaking out about then?
It was a channel where the parents pranked their kids constantly. And the kids finally got taken away from the parents.
Yeah. Because it wasn't cool what was going on.
No, I never watched any of their videos, but I did watch some YouTube commenter who talked about it, and he showed clips, and they're horrifying.
Yeah, there are definitely some of those. I mean, I haven't seen the ones you're talking about. I don't think. But there were some other parents of children who were being, you know, jerks to them.
Yeah.
That were just, you know, like the parents who make their kids watch those maze things that then turn into a scary face. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but I can imagine.
Like they say, go through this maze and you know, be very careful. And so you have to kind of get close to look through it and everything like that. And then it turns into a scary crypt keeper type face screaming at you, and the kids cry, and they're like, I mean, we're talking like 4 or 5 year olds,
yeah,
and they cry, and it's like, this isn't funny. I was told that this is hilarious.
Yeah,
this is not hilarious.
The title told me that it was hilarious and it was an epic freak out and I would love it. The thing about this channel is that you watch some of these videos, and the parents, they're screaming at these kids, like they're playing pranks on them. Like they squirt this like invisible ink, not invisible, this disappearing ink on the carpet, and then they blame it on the kid. And the kid's like, I didn't do that. The parents are screaming. Sorry, I'm gonna bleep that up. Parents are screaming at them, cursing at them, and the kid's just having a meltdown. And you're like, that's not cool. But also, hasn't it gotten to the point where the kid is like, if mom and dad are yelling at me while holding the video camera, are they really mad at me, or are they doing another one of their dumb videos?
Here's the thing that I would say. How good of a relationship did you have with your parents?
I'd say fairly good.
Pretty good?
When I was growing up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about your siblings? Pretty good?
As, you know, as good as a younger brother can be to an older sister.
Okay, this is my suggestion that I would say. Those kids don't care. The fact that their parents are just kidding makes no difference. Their life is off balance. They have absolutely no way of knowing what is going on.
Yeah, you're, and it wasn't
any given time mom and dad could start screaming at me. Is it real or is it fake? I don't know. They're screaming at me. I just want them to stop.
It wasn't just this emotional abuse. It was also, there was also some clips of physical abuse. And so it's all, and I hate saying this, but it's Because I mean, I hated hearing it, but because it's so stereotypical. But at the end of one of these videos, the father leans down, his kid's crying his eyes out. Father leans down, puts this video camera in his face, and he goes, "It's just a prank, bro." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah, that's not good. Not good. I'm.
P.S. of the story: it all has a happy ending for the kids. They got taken away from their parents.
Well, that's the other thing is it's how good is that too?
It's,
you know,
it's
what I
mean? More nuanced than that. There were five kids total. Two of the kids
okay.
were the biological kids of like the mom, and three of the kids were the biological kids of the dad. And so the biological kids of the mom went to go live with their father, and the biological kids of the dad went to go live with their mother.
Okay. Well, that...
So they're not like in an orphanage or anything like that. You know,
they're just taken
away from their dad and daddy's wife.
Wow. Well, Ben, how time flies.
Speaking of YouTube.
I have made my potato, and we are already, it looks like.
We're at 56 minutes.
56 minutes, which means.
Oh, God.
Betty!
What?
It's calling for Betty time. How's it going?
It's going great. What is it?
Good. Let's think.
Something
Betty is
to do with pranks.
Tapping her fingers on the microphone. Don't do that.
Okay.
Betty, have your mom and I ever pranked you?
I don't think in any bad way.
Not any bad
way. Have you ever pranked me or your mom?
I pranked you once.
How did you prank me? I don't remember.
Me and mom pranked you. Like we were We taped down the thing to the hose, remember? At the sink? The spray thing for April Fool's Day that one time?
Right, okay. Yeah, alright, so...
And it didn't work because it was, like, off a bit?
Was it clogged a little bit, or was the tape... Oh, it just wasn't pointed at me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so one April Fool's Day, Betty and her mom...
I just told you what happened!
Oh, right. Well, Ben didn't hear. Ben, did you hear what
Not
happened?
Really.
They taped down the hose that was in the sink, and they... Then when I turned the sink on, the hose sprays you.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah. A classic.
Classic. So, there we go. As you can see, from Betty's own lips... Oh, right. I was going to say, for Betty's own lips, I've never done anything to traumatize her, prank-wise. but we do still have...
She still reels back thing. From marshmallows.
Yeah, exactly. Which we've talked about before. One time, Betty went strapped to my chest. Got pelted with marshmallows by an audience. We have since talked to her, and she loves marshmallows.
Good.
So I guess it backfired somehow.
Damn it. We're just going to have to figure out another way to make her deathly afraid of marshmallows.
Yes, and do we really want to do that, though, Ben?
Well,
honestly,
marshmallows are terrible. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I really don't like them.
Oh, really?
I know it was our thing, but I can eat one marshmallow, and that's it. Two is straight out.
The one thing I would say, that going back all the way to the kosher thing, marshmallows, regular marshmallows, most of them aren't kosher because of the gelatin. Gelatin is very hard.
So you're no longer going to be eating any marshmallows?
They do sell kosher marshmallows, though.
Oh, do they?
And the other thing is that I haven't, you know, checked all this stuff out, but most vegan stuff is kosher as well. So that's helpful. If you want to be kosher without, you know, like advertising it too much, you may be able to do it by just going, "I'm vegan," but don't do that. Do you know why? People don't like vegan people either.
Nobody likes,
I said either.
Nobody likes vegans,
but oh yeah, that was the other thing
vegan, but I didn't say anything because I like to eat meat and processed foods.
Yeah, I did have a I guess a 2-year stretch was the longest of being vegan. And I got to say, it was one of those situations where after eating meat, I felt great.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, we talked about that, where you ate meat for the first time on stage. An entire steak.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we talked about this on this very podcast. Yeah. Why not listen to more of the Goody Lawrence podcast?
And with that.
It's just like this. And you might hear a story that you heard 5 times already. I think it's great.
It's for the hardcore fans who like hearing the same stories told over and over.
Exactly. And who doesn't?
Yeah.
Most people. But some people love it. And why not? Because we're awesome, Ben. You and me, we're great.
Yeah, indeed.
This is a good podcast.
All right.
Yay.
Well, hey, right. Paul. I'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Ben. Yeah. Hey, and keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
All right.
All right, take care.